Hey yo, and here we go, another edition of WTC We Talk Comics. I'm Mo, joined by
I'm Keith.
Nobody here, joined by nobody.
Yeah, apparently. No, there was somebody there. But he's in Iraq, covering the war over there. Hence the delay in satellite feed, folks. So I hope it isn't too disconcerting for you. From now on, I'm going to only use words I know how to pronounce in this podcast. So we have Keith with us, as well as Brett. Brett, how are you today?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I read I continue to read the New 52, so how do you think I am?
Oh, I'm so sorry. We'll set the funeral up for later this week.
Exactly. I'm not quite as worked up as I was last week, but certainly plenty to talk to with them. Keith, do you want to jump in and give us the first topic here?
Yeah, I think for me the kind of overarching topic this week is whether some of these books are really jump on points, and I really want to get Brett's point of view, being someone who hasn't been following DC. The ones specifically I'm talking about are Batwoman, which has actually been sitting on the shelf waiting to be published for months and months.
Batman. I consider that a good thing.
Batman and Robin.
Would it be a good thing if it was still waiting?
Yes.
Batman and Robin, and particularly Green Lantern. Whether you can actually follow what's happening, where these characters are at from your first issue.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off with Batwoman. Primarily because I actually found the book generally incomprehensible.
I did too.
Like, I like the art. I like the art a lot.
You're stealing my thoughts, Brett. Did I write notes and send them to you by accident?
I don't think so, but I could read your notes anyways. But
good point.
But
like I know how to write.
That's right. You know, I just thought that it really seemed.
Brett
to
actually
be...
reads the books to me because I can't.
That's why you
I
like comics,
because
there's lots
just from the pictures,
and
then Brett will read the words. Yeah.
That's another good reason why it was incomprehensible.
Now, anyways, go on, Brett.
I just thought that, it didn't really seem to fit anything. It didn't seem to fit any, like, in the Batman mythos. It didn't seem to fit as a, comic book. It certainly didn't seem to fit in the new scheme of things. I don't know. I mean, I didn't particularly understand it, and by the end, I didn't care to understand it. So it just kind of left me, other than liking the art, it left me pretty cold.
I could say the art was very pretty, but I think his character design choices, especially, is it Cassandra? Is that the name of the Batwoman character when she was, looking like a ghost with a red tomato on her head?
Oh, that's right, yes. Yeah, she was pitch white, and it was just like this bleached character.
Yeah, and so the character design, like the art's pretty, but the designs, and as well as the layout designs, I found it hard to know which panel I'm supposed to be reading next or which line of dialogue to read next, because the panel designs and the layout of the book, even though it's really pretty, it didn't flow well into a story. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, that's a big part of comic books, and that's something that I thought failed. So I didn't think it was... it looked good, but it doesn't mean it was good. Good for it's not. Doesn't mean it's good comic book art. It just means it's good art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this.
Keith, your thoughts.
This book has been sitting on the shelf, ready to be published for a long time. They published the zero issue of Batwoman almost a year ago. It was November, I think, last year, and the number one was delayed, and then it was going to be March. And by the time that came around, they said, "Well, we might as well wait." But I think
because they had zero readers,
this was a really anticipated book, and it's getting a bit lost in the shuffle. I mean, this book would have been one of the major releases of the spring if it had come out in the spring. Now it seems like forever since this character's appeared. It doesn't, like Brett was saying, it doesn't make sense in the context of what they're doing in this relaunch. One of the things I found really
Who's the blonde girl that's with her?
I have no idea. I'm sure that might be from the zero issue. I don't know.
Robinette.
Oh, that's good. Well, thank God, because, we all read that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So as a jump-on point, I'm going to have to give it a thumbs down. What I particularly found jarring about this book compared to the others is that at this time that they're putting such a focus on same day digital and trying to move a few people or bring some people back to comics through digital, this book was almost entirely two page spreads, which generally look like crap on a digital reader.
Yeah, you need a really sizable digital reader to catch that one.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not terribly suitable to kind of their big push. I found that the art pretty, but again, I couldn't follow necessarily where the panels were and what I was supposed to be following on the page.
You know, that is something though that you, now that you mention it, the two page spreads, I actually found in this week's worth of comics that there was a lot of books that did feature two page spreads.
Yeah, and unlike, you know, Justice League.
Justice League only had one 2-page spread. It just had like
A whole book?
Three or four 1-page
whole page
images. Yeah, so I think I had enjoyed this character when I saw her in 52 and in a couple other appearances since, but it really seemed out of place. And I have on my notes Batman again. This marks the sixth appearance of Batman so far, not counting his own book. this is the Batman relaunch for sure.
Yeah, ultimately.
Well, why not? He's the character who they haven't had to change anything for, so use him.
And yet, at the same time, you know, I'm going to burn the book. You know, based on our typical rating strategy, I'm burning this one. But
which is, Brett, what are the three options?
Okay, so we got burn it, which means that we're never going to read it again. We got buy it, which means that we would buy it for as long as we could and just read it kind of thing. And then we got bag it, which means we'd totally buy it and keep it and love it and cherish it.
And read it over and over again.
Yeah.
So this one, you give it a burn it. How about you, Keith? Bag it, buy it, or John burn it?
I actually have buy ? Written next to my note here. I think I would... I kind of treat
that sounds like crazy talk to me.
I treat the buy as kind of it's a disposable comic. If I missed an issue, I'm not hunting it down. I was enjoying the character, like I said, in earlier appearances. I am interested how they're going to reintegrate Renee Montoya into the new 52 because she won't be questioned anymore.
Yeah. Wait, she's not the question anymore?
No.
No, okay.
No. Was that a story you enjoyed in the past couple of years? Because no.
I just, why would you take a character, make her the question for like a 2-year period, and then cut it off? It's like, I don't know. Again, I they've never had a plan, I guess.
But then why relaunch anything?
Yeah,
it's true. That's true. Well, no, I think what's really interesting is there's something said about Renee Montoya in the book, and she's looking at her picture. But if you didn't really look at the picture and see that it said the words Renee Montoya underneath it, you'd have no idea who this character was. Like, it's not well presented. Again, there's too much assumption from these books that these people who are reading them are somewhat familiar with the character's recent history, nevertheless history at all. And theoretically, people don't know that not only the recent history. Theoretically, they don't know these characters. Like, if you're bringing back new people, they don't know who the hell this character is ever. So you gotta give us a base, and they don't do that.
I'm Brett? Definitely going to be chatting about some instances of that coming up, but because you mentioned Batman and his appearances in a lot of them, and I think one of the things is that. You know, I'm a fan of Batman. Being a fan for a while, I don't necessarily... I did try to read the Grant Morrison run, and I'll admit it was a real struggle for me just because, again, his superhero stuff doesn't really work for me. But I wanted to get into it. I wanted to understand it. But I think the relaunch, one thing that it's doing for me, is it's absolutely killing my interest in Batman altogether. I read Batman and Robin. I really don't care for the Damian character. I know exactly where he came from. I don't like him. I don't like the dynamic that's going on right now. I don't like Batman. And so I'm at the end of the day, I just don't care.
let's get into Batman and Robin then. Now that I will also John Byrne this book. So let's get into Batman and Robin. It struck me as the first thing I'm thinking as I read it. Like, I don't dislike Damian, like Brett said. I think he's just, you know, I think he's an interesting character to do some storylines with, because you have this, his morals are so extremely different than Batman's are. So I think there's a chance to do some interesting stuff there. My issue is, this universe is 5 years old and he's 10. What?
Stay tuned, I guess.
Someone explain that to me. Seriously. That makes no goddamn sense.
I hear rumors that the editor-in-chief of DC has this five-year plan hidden in a drawer somewhere, and that sometime next year they'll tell us what it is. I pray for that day. I've been saying since Justice League came out, where's my history of the DC universe? I think I would feel my footing better for these books if I had a timeline of some sort. And yeah, this is another one of those. If he was Batman when this kid was conceived, then he was secretly Batman for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
It makes no sense, and it really pissed me off. Another thing is, while I say I don't hate the character like Brett does, I don't like him either. It was just, to me, it's just, while there is some interesting storylines, there's more storylines. Like, it just seems to me, the idea of Batman with a kid and Batman, was one thing to have him adopt somebody and try and find that paternal side. It's interesting because he sometimes fails and this and that and causes stress, stress with a character like Dick Grayson. But the idea to me that he actually has a kid, I don't know, he's Batman. He's not supposed to, it just feels wrong. And this was a perfect chance to get rid of Damian, and there wouldn't have been an uproar. Like, this relaunch was just a perfect chance to get rid of him, and there wouldn't have been an uproar from the fans saying, oh, no, Damian's gone. They would have just went, oh, okay, well, that's all right, because, you know, who really cares? And they should have done it. This was it. Now we're going to have, now we know he's staying around for a while, and that kind of sucks.
They get rid of Connor Hawk, and I haven't seen a what did you do with Connor Hawk website set up. I think they could have thrown Damian into this pile.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, one thing that I will say about this book is that it did strike me that despite the fact that that they still have Damian, I actually felt like it could have been a decent jumping on point for the Batman and Robin series. Like, well, it didn't strike me that there was... Okay.
I'm going to jump in here, because you say it's a decent jumping on point. It is, because... But here's the problem, Brett. It's not a relaunch. It's just, it feels like the start of a fresh storyline where you could jump on, like you could have a year ago with Battle for the Cowl or whatever, if it hadn't blown. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing here relaunching the characters. It's nothing new here. It's just continuing the storyline exactly where it was. It just happens to be start of something, a new storyline, so you can, it's easy to get on. But that's not what this... At least theoretically, I didn't think that's what the new 52 was supposed to be.
Well, it is quite a mix. It's a mix of, as I've said before, it's relaunches, reimaginings, and reboots, which are three different things. I would say Batman and Robin does fall into that relaunch, feels like a new season of a regular show kind of feel. I think I picked up everything I needed. I wasn't invested at all, though. I felt kind of, you know, I didn't feel anything at the end of the book.
No, there's boring. Nothing at all to be felt from this book. I mean, it's pointless.
Yeah, and one of the things that did bug me is that I liked the art style at the beginning of the book, and then about halfway through the book, it starts to break down. When they got into the fight scenes, the art just wasn't working. It wasn't flowing as well. And it was, you know, the characters were standing there talking. It was great. But just the action scenes were a bit weak. And I found them a little hard to follow because of that.
I did think the idea that this was a Batman who's essentially going to celebrate his parents' life instead of show constant remorse and be quite as dark seemed to be interesting, but I didn't think that this fit with the other Batman portrayals we've seen so far in this reboot, and I'd like to reboot them right up the ass.
I think it fits with the JLI Batman, who was a bit more...
Oh, well, that's good enough.
like I said, 6 or 7 appearances of Batman.
Yeah, that's That's the main part of that character, is the JLI Batman.
We've got 6 or 7 appearances of Batman so far. If two of, at this point, if two of them agree, I'm calling it a win.
All right. Well, I'm definitely burning the book, and right now I'm in the process of burning every Batman book.
I'd give it a buy. I'd give it a buy, but it not you know, again, who cares? It's a buy, but passable buy.
I give it a burn as well. I wasn't following Batman, and if you had if they had restarted it, maybe they could have convinced me. But giving me the next issue of Batman wasn't going to convince me.
Hold on one second. One second, Keith. Wait, before we go on, did you say they got rid of Connor Hark?
Green Arrow's son, yes.
Shit!
You know, Green.
Now I'm mad!
Green Arrow's 25 years old. Of course he doesn't have a child.
All right, start a Randy website. 4-year-old.
I'm starting a website.
Awesome. I will be the first one to retweet your website.
Now I'm pissed off. That's it.
Now, all right. Anyways. Now, the other one in this category... I got in a huge argument with one of my Twitter pals, The Flash Reborn, about whether Green Lantern is a satisfactory jumping on point. It is a non-reboot. I would consider it not a fairly a relaunch of the book. The number on the cover is the only thing to me that set this off as anything but the next issue of Green Lantern. But I wasn't following Green Lantern. I don't particularly have a fondness for the character, and the whole multicolored lanterns thing had put me off. I'm dying to know what Brett thought of this book.
Now, it's really interesting because I like Hal Jordan. I like the Green Lantern character quite a bit. This book stood out to me from every single book up and down this week. At the end of this book, I wanted to burn the digital file. It is, I don't like the storyline. I don't like what they're doing with Sinestro. I don't like what they've done with Hal. And B, there's absolutely no question in my mind that I had no idea what was going on, not having read any of the multicolored lanterns or anything like that. I had nothing. You know, this was totally in the middle of the story. I felt like I was reading a soap or watching a soap opera, and I'd just come right on in there.
How about you, Mo?
I haven't read since Brightest Day started. I read Blackest Night, and that's the last Green Lantern I read.
You'd be closer to the rest of us, though.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it was pretty easy to pick up, even though I hadn't read Brightest Day. I mean, I could jump right in there. I thought it was nice art. I like Monkey, or however you pronounce it, Doug Monkey, Mankey, however you pronounce his name
Monk,
there.
Maybe, yeah.
Monk, yeah. I enjoy his art. I thought it was an easy storyline, good characterizations. The only thing I'm going is, shouldn't, if Hal Jordan is no longer Green Lantern, and this is a jumping on point, you tell us why instead of just doing a passing and assuming we all know? And it's that type of little thing that they're continuing to miss. So I would give it a buy because for me it was an easy, enjoyable read. But I do think it's it's like if I'm giving this a buy and I'm giving Batman and Robin a buy because I read everything up to basically Batman Inc. again. So I'm pretty familiar with the storylines. I give it a buy because for me it's easy to read. But if you're looking at it from a category of how good a job are they doing of relaunching, then everything's a burn.
And that's where I'm standing right now is – at this juncture with these three books that we've talked about, for the most part, I'm not invested in any of these characters, and I have I don't see myself as having a desire to get interested and invested in these characters. And actually, one of the biggest things is that it's funny because I'm a big fan of Geoff Johns. I really liked his work on JSA. I thought it was one of those excellent runs. I've liked almost everything that I've read of his. And yet now, based on Green Lantern and based on Justice League, I'm like, what the hell pod person took over Geoff Johns? Because
that's the thing.
Crap.
You'd probably really enjoy Blackest Night. It's a good storyline written by Johns. On the other hand, who cares? You shouldn't have to read that and like I say, I think this is something that we're seeing in comic book writers. You shouldn't have to read anything in order to be able to enjoy that next book. And I mean, you should be able to pick up issue number 5 of an 8-issue story arc and be able to enjoy that book if it's well written. And that's something writers used to be able to do a really good job of, was getting you immediately, I don't know if it's thought bubbles or captions or anything. I mean, I haven't read Marvel for, I haven't read anything since before Civil War, but they had a little, blurb at the beginning of every issue telling you what had gone on just before. I guess they still continued. The writers have lost the skill of remembering the narrative for new readers and bringing them up to speed and making, and Morrison is probably the worst of all time at this. And he's very influential, and I'm starting to think that's a bad thing.
Well, and I was reading some reviews on Comic Therapy, I think it was today, and it said it was reviewing Animal Man out of the New 52, and Animal Man had that one-page magazine article on the first page of who Buddy Baker is, who Animal Man is, and what he's doing now. And the review was, why didn't every single book have a device like this? It's so simple, it would have taken one page and would have caught everyone up without needing to put it in exposition.
And Brett and I hadn't read Animal Man when we did our last week of reviews, but when we were done, both of us looked at each other and said, best book of the week.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's still the best book. Like, it's one book that I would easily want to read. I really liked what they're doing with the character. I love the fact that they caught me up without treating me like an idiot, like you know, just putting a flat page there saying, what has gone before? Blah.
Yeah.
No, it was done in a really clever way, and it would have been fairly easy to do that with... they used to do it in the Legion of Superheroes comics with, you know, they would... the Brainiac's Report or whatever they might have called it. A lot of books have done that in the past. It's a bit of a device, but if they do that on number ones, you wouldn't have to build it into the story. You could have gotten into action faster, and you didn't have people, readers, that were completely confused.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I mean, it used to be I could pick up Spider-Man, and if I hadn't read it for 6 months, I could pick it up and find out what was going on in his life because his thought bubbles would tell me what was happening and what he was thinking. And since that's gone, and I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, but it means that they haven't adjusted to they haven't found a new way to really make every issue a jump on the point. Because theoretically, every issue is somebody's first issue of that character. So every issue should be a jump on point to a degree.
So your exact words there, Mo, used to be editorial policy at Marvel. That phrase, every issue is someone's first issue, that used to be editorial policy. And if you look back, I'm reading some John Byrne Claremont X-Men's right now. And I think one of the reasons they moved away from this style is trade paperbacks. Because I'm reading these in a trade paperback, and every issue I get to, here's the half page I can skip because they've written in what has come before in some kind of exposition or quick flashback. But when you were picking those off the shelf, when you were reading them with a month apart, you needed that. And when it was your first issue, you needed that. But trade paperbacks, it seems redundant when you're reading a 6-issue trade paperback to 5 times review what has come before.
That's true. I can understand that, but there has to be a happy medium. There has to be a better way.
I agree.
Okay, one extreme or the other. So, okay. Let's just quickly talk about the other books here. I mean,
okay. Let's do our quick bag by burn on this.
All right. Well, let's start with let's do Grifter.
Well, we haven't done Green Lantern yet.
Green Lantern. Oh yeah. I mean, I said I buy it because I could read it, right?
Yeah, I mean I hated it. I just flat out hated it.
You burn it.
Yeah.
I give it a buy for now. I did enjoy the story. I needed to hit Wikipedia for a few of the stuff though.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on. Yeah, Grifter. I thought as a jump on point, it actually felt like an issue number one in an origin story. Not a great story, but because they did a better job of actually giving me a place where, as somebody who's only vaguely familiar with the character, I could read it, see where it's coming from, and see that a storyline is going to develop, even though I'm not loving it. I'm not hating it either, so I would give it a buy.
I didn't hate it. It was a fine jumping off point. I thought I might like it for a second there, but then by the end I realized that I just didn't care and like most of them. I hate to give it a burn because I've been burning so much out of this relaunch, but I just wouldn't buy it. So
I've got it as a buy, but I don't know how many issues I'd make it. I'm told that this was also a full-on reboot. I don't know anyone that actually used to buy Grifter, though, so I don't know what to compare it to.
Well, I did read
like one to me.
I did read a fair chunk of Grifter when I was trying to get into the Wildstorm universe at one point. And so, yeah, it is a full-on reboot, and so I definitely...
All right.
I can appreciate that, but yeah, I mean, I think I actually preferred the Wildstorm character.
But wait a second, you're telling me they took a character... They took a character that wasn't part of this universe from Wildstorm and integrated him into the universe with a reboot? What a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that
you suck.
That is one of the points of this. Because this is as much a reboot as a merger. That's what they were coming out of Flashpoint was merging Wildstorm and the DC Vertigo characters in. But that's something I missed in the issue, though, is that they're setting up Grifter as a character, but there's no connection to the DC universe. This book doesn't have to be in the DC universe. Like anything, even like a minor character introduced, they're flying to Metropolis. Anything like that would have been enough to.
Actually, no. I believe that the aliens are the same ones that did appear in Justice League. Because I believe that they're Daemonites.
But
I think so too.
Aren't those
I
ones
think
that, from Wildcats?
They might not have done a good enough yes. job getting that across, but I do think that's true.
Again, how's it a new story if it's only tying in with other Wildstorm things?
Because I'm pretty sure that in the Justice League number one, it's that the aliens that they're talking about are the Daemonites.
All right. I don't buy it.
Fair enough.
If that's true, there's nothing in Grifter that ties it back.
No, I mean, but it again, it speaks to it being a full reboot in that the way he's originized.
yeah. Well, that's my truthiness for the day. Let's not look a gift horse in the mouth. Anybody could read this.
Yes.
I mean, knowing Marvel, it's only, or knowing DC, Keith. It's only a matter of time till Batman shows up in this book. So,
I kept waiting near the end there. I thought he was going to rescue the plane or something.
So don't worry about too much. Let's move on to another book that absolutely didn't have to take part in the DC universe, Daemonites.
Daemonites. Oh my God, did I hate this book. Full disclosure, I've never been a fan of Atrigan, so I didn't go into it with the best expectations, and they were met.
Well met, sir.
I didn't expect to like it. I did not like it. I found it really boring. I've never liked that character. Jamming in Madame Xanadu doesn't change that. Jamming in. I only found out later from other reviews that it's some of the Seven Soldiers characters are who else is showing up in that book, but I never read it either, so it didn't do anything for me in any way.
I did read it, but it doesn't tie in with the Seven Soldiers mini series or whatever you want to call it. Because the Shining Knight, isn't the same Shining Knight. I didn't think, but
it is now probably.
Yeah, it probably is now.
Rebootage.
I don't know, it's this hermaphrodite version of the Shining Knight. I don't know what the hell
it's
is going on.
It's a cross-dresser. Yes! Transgender. Sorry, it's transgender.
Transgender?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is it's got a couple pairs of plumbing. But it's all right.
Burn.
Like I said, it didn't have to take place in the DC universe. This could have been anything, right? Like, this was... They did one thing I appreciate, or two things. Okay, I never liked Etrigan either. I did kind of enjoy the Alan Grant run where they had him and Lobo running through hell and just killing people. And it made no sense, and he didn't care about whether or not it made any sense, and it was just funny. It killed the Lobo character, but that's an argument for another day. But Alan Grant killed that character. But I enjoyed his writing while he did it. I read them and enjoyed them. But anyways, they made Etrigan big. He wasn't tiny. He was huge. He was tall. He was muscular. He didn't rhyme. I appreciated the shit out of that.
I was glad he didn't rhyme. Thank you for that. That gets you 1 out of 10 from me because he didn't rhyme.
He didn't rhyme. It didn't, like I say, this didn't have to take place in the DC universe. I think the art was really, really fine. I liked Vandal Savage. He made me laugh a couple times. I give this a buy. I actually enjoyed this. I enjoyed this book, but it, again, it's not something you need to read, but I actually had fun with it.
I'm just flat out burning it on principle because, again, it's one of the most pointless relaunch books that I could imagine reading. You know, like, hey, let's take all these secondary magic characters that don't belong in Vertigo anymore and slap them all together in a team book. What a great idea.
Wait until you leave Justice League Dark. You got something ahead of you.
I'm looking forward to Justice League Dark. That's going to be... That's an all African American team of Justice League, right?
Is the Black Panther in that one?
It's not. That's not where Black Lightning is? No?
Oh, you kids.
Well, then I don't want to read it.
Does DC have enough black characters to fill out a Justice League Dark book?
Well, yeah, it's Black Lightning and his daughter. It's John Harry Iron Steel and his daughter
and Mr. Terrific's not getting more than 3 issues, so he'll be available soon.
All right, well, let's move on to Mr. Terrific since you brought it up.
Brad, you mean Mr. Terrible?
Tell us what you really think.
Hey, Brad, did you like fucking anything? Jesus Christ.
Yes, I did.
Awesome. Well, don't give that surprise away.
we're not there yet. No, I think it's interesting, though, because Mr. Terrific is a character that I enjoyed during the JSA run that I mentioned about that Jeff Johns wrote. This, though, is as far removed. I mean, yeah, okay, great. They're trying to introduce the character to a new generation of fans, if that's what you call anybody who buys the book. But at the end of the book, again, the art I found painfully annoying because I wasn't really sure. All the faces seemed to have this kind of bland, like, jello quality to them. And so I couldn't tell which character was which, other than the fact that he was black. So I sort of had an idea throughout that it was him. But when he wasn't wearing a costume, I didn't really know, and it could have been anything. So by the end of the story, I was really confused, and then he became a completely different character at the end.
I went 5 pages thinking I was reading the origin of his nemesis before I realized that it was a flashback to his own history. I have no idea who this guy is. He's interesting. He seems kind of badass. Oh, wait, this is the same character I just finished reading for the first half of the book.
Yeah. I mean, this is a bad book, and really, it's probably the worst overall book of the grouping. I just liked Green Lantern less.
I'd agree the art was weak. Again, it's an actual jumping on point and an origin story. And a relaunch for the character. I'm going to give it a buy again. I think you could kind of see where it's going. I think it's...
I just don't want to see where it's going.
It's not a great book, but it's not, like I say, I mean, maybe give it a little time to get its legs, maybe. That's kind of my thinking on it. The art was weak, but I mean, at least, like I say, it was under jumping on port, and it's a character with some potential. So maybe it's just not the right writer.
Well, yeah, potential to be in a dollar bin.
I've got a brilliant idea for you. Now, way back in the late 70s, early 80s, Marvel had 2 really low-selling books, and they said, we got to cancel one, so maybe we'll combine these 2 guys into 1 book. And what they created was one of our favorite shared books, Power Man and Iron Fist. 2 characters that did not belong together, but they made this wonderful series together. I'm pitching right now Mr. Terrific and Grifter as a partner book. I think That right there, get one salvageable book out of these two things.
So I guess you'd burn it. All right. Let's move on. I don't know. Let's go with, you said Green Lanterns. Let's talk about the miniseries known as Red Lanterns. Anything felt to me ever like, well, sorry, Brad, but this is brought up. If anything ever felt to me like this is not a series that's being set up to last a long time, that's being felt like a four-issue miniseries that they're designing, it was Red Lanterns. And not necessarily terrible. A better job is probably as a jumping-on point than Green Lanterns. But I'm like, why does it have to exist? And how can it possibly last for 100 issues or whatever? That doesn't feel like the storyline or the characters or anything like that has any legs. Feels like a one-shot storyline or a miniseries.
I don't know. How long did Spirits of Vengeance last in Marvel? I mean, basically, we're talking about a team of Ghost Rider, like led by Ghost Rider in this case. So it just strikes me that, I mean, I enjoyed
it. Blaze, though.
Yeah.
This doesn't have Johnny Blaze.
I liked it more than Green Lantern, but that's really such a minor step up that it's probably not worth it. You're right. It really does strike me that it seems to be going to be a very short storyline before you run out of what you really want to talk about in this, and it's just like, oh, okay, I'm done now. Thanks.
Yeah, so I burn it.
I actually I like this book. It was,
I didn't dislike it. I just don't think that it had legs.
I think it is. I think it would be hard to sustain. I was clear on the main character. Is it Atrocious? It just like it's a garble of consonants.
Atrocitus.
Yeah. Really? It's Mixie's Piddalick.
It's kind of. Isn't that the name of the artist who did Mr. Terrific?
So. I got his background, and I got actually quite a clear view of how he's motivated, why he hates the Lanterns, etc. None of the other characters do I have any idea of, so it's setting up a team book with one character established. But it's Peter Milligan writing, and I really enjoy Peter Milligan in pretty much everything he writes.
Can I say, is it a team book? I mean, I guess it is, but it didn't really, you're right, it didn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I have to wonder is, Red Lanterns, they're about rage, and if you read Red Lanterns, if you did read Blackest Night or Blackest Day or whatever the hell, they're not good guys. Like, now they're... Are they anti-heroes? Are they heroes? Are they villains? Where are they? What direction are they going?
Now they're Venom.
Well...
Yeah, they are.
I was told that I could follow Green Lantern with only about 7 years' worth of backstory. So if you had packaged Red Lanterns with three or four trade paperbacks of Brightest Day and Blackest Night, then I would have answers to your questions.
Okay.
I still put it as a buy, though. I did think it as some of the best writing of the week. I like the main character, and I'm willing to stick to it to learn more about the other characters.
Okay, you changed me. You changed me too. I said burn just because I hadn't burned anything, and I feel like I'm a person as bitter as me should have burned something. But you're right. I'm going to give it back to a buy. I'm changing. You swung me to the buy range.
Yay me!
All right. Well, just because I've been burning everything, I'm going to borrow one of your copies.
Awesome. Well, we got two.
You're not going to burn it?
No, I'm not.
I was hoping you could swing me back to the burn section.
No, I just don't have enough to say about this book to really want to. I did find it somewhat interesting, and so I can't specifically want to burn it. I mean, don't get me wrong, we still got some more burns coming up. It's no problem.
Can we get to one I really want to burn?
Sure.
Resurrection Man.
Yay! Let's just all burn it right away. I don't even see why we need two issues of it.
I've got this as a buy. Not only a buy. I've got this as a buy with a pickup and back issues.
That was my issue. I've never read an issue of Resurrection Man before. Now, number one, I thought the art blew. I like Abnett and Lanning as writers. I've enjoyed their work many times, but the art I thought blew. But holy crap. They never actually said, here's what my powers are, here's how I come back, here's who I am was never told to me during this book. I know who Resurrection Man is because I've been around comic books for the last 20 years, but if I am a brand new reader, I'd have no clue what the hell is going on. What a crappy, crappy introduction to the character and a boring story.
I'll dispute that because I have never read an issue of Resurrection Man. I've never read a single one in the whole, however long the character's been around. I was aware of the character, but I never opened a book of it. I have no idea what powers were going in.
But you're aware of the character's the point.
No, other than seeing the title, other than seeing his logo, I had never looked inside one of the books.
You didn't know he was a guy who died every issue and came back with a different power?
I did not, actually. I didn't. I never read a single appearance of the character.
You didn't know that.
I did not know
that. I've never read a single issue, and I totally picked that up from his name of Resurrection Man.
Well, I assume he comes back from the dead, but getting a new power every time, I would not have known from Resurrection
Man. No, I didn't know that.
and from reading this book, if you pick that up, you're Nostradamus. Because I don't think they did a good job at all.
I do agree with that as well. You know,
this time I got magnet powers. Okay, so you don't. Last time, what? How am I supposed to know that? This time, now I can. Now I turn into water at the end. I'm going. Okay, I know you get different powers, but if I didn't, it's just. I think it was shite.
See, my feeling on this book can be summarized in that, in the writing style. I taste crap. I wake up and there's the taste of crap in my mouth. My powers are the powers of crap. You know,
so Brett's just, a fan.
I don't know. Like,
well, I
don't
can say this, Brett. Brett, I'm not personally someone who recommends burning crap.
You're not going to put this in a paper bag and put it on somebody's doorstep. But,
you know, I would like to put this on whoever drew it's doorstep.
I guess the thing is that this really strikes me so far as a book that I don't remember how long Resurrection Man lasted before, but I would suggest that it will last an equal amount of time because it's probably the exact same book done over again.
Well, that's another thing is okay. And we're seeing this rather consistently. You have this character. It's like they had this character all these years ago, and it didn't really take off, but they really liked it. It got good reviews or something. It just never sold. So let's bring back the character with the same writers and the same everything. Let's do, you know, and you're seeing this consistently, see, from DC in this relaunch. Why, if you're going to bring back Resurrection Man, give somebody else a shot at him. If you're gonna have a relaunch on Green Lantern, theoretically, now let's give it to somebody else because Geoff Johns has done so much with it for the last several years. How about where are the new creators? Where are you know somebody else doing Booster Gold? I know it's terrible, but what the hell?
Anyways, I think we've already spent way too long talking about Resurrection Man. We've talked about it longer than the series full run, so.
All right, pick one out of the air.
All right, well, I'm going to talk about Superboy. Now, I started off liking the book. About halfway through, I didn't like the book. And by the end, I was more or less back on the side of Superboy again. At the end of the day, I thought it was a pretty good book. I'm not in love with the book, but I thought it was pretty good.
Burn it.
Excellent.
I'm bagging this one. I thought it was a good restart. The Connor Kent character had run its course. They had killed him and they still brought him back. It is one of the few full-on reboots.
With the name Resurrection Superboy.
Resurrection Superboy. I thought it was. I liked the ending of the book. I liked that it started right in with an origin story, coming up with this new version, a new take on the character. Yeah, it's a bag for me.
Biggest problem that I have.
What was the end? I can't remember. What was the end?
Well, I'm not giving away the ending. I'm go look at it again.
Because I read it yesterday and I don't remember. Seriously, this thing bored the hell out of me. I was just so bored. I didn't find the character particularly likable. I didn't find anything was going on. I didn't like anybody in it. I just felt like it dragged. I felt like it was really poorly paced. I didn't like the art. I didn't like this book. I burned this sucker.
My biggest problem with this book was that it was overwritten.
There was, God, yeah,
way, way, way too much text in this book. And I thought that it really could have halved it, and I still would have gotten what was going on.
Yeah. It felt like a chore to read.
It's mixed again for us.
It really is. It really is.
I mean, we know Mo's going to burn it. We know Keith's going to bag it. I would probably buy it because I was slightly interested in it, and I thought it was a pretty good book.
Okay, well, let's talk about something I think was pretty good and I give a buy to, but it's something that is skippable, and that's Legion Lost. One of those books. I think, easy to jump on. Didn't really feel like a relaunch at all, but easy to jump on. Not too much happening. Just kind of, you know, a fair book. I like the look of Sunfire, his new outfit and such, but nothing, a buy, but a buy probably, I don't know if I'm going beyond three issues buying it type deal.
This to me is a disposable income book. If I've got a lot of disposable income, then I'm perfectly happy to go continue buying this book, because I think that you're going to get a pretty good story every issue. If you don't have that disposable income, then I just don't see why you would.
Now, Mo, were you following Legion at all the past few years?
Yes and no. I mean, I read, what was the Superboy or Superman and Legion storyline that recently happened with a few years ago? I'm trying to recall it. It might have been Jeff Johns, actually. And
It was Jeff Johns. I just read that one over the summer. I don't remember
the name. That's the last I read. And then, of course, you know, like I said, I was reading 52 when there's stuff around with them. And I can't remember who it was who was stuck in the past during the 50, you know, Infinite Crisis and 52 and all that era. But essentially the point being that a familiarization with what was going on, but not a real deep following.
I gave this one a burn because I actually did find it a little hard to follow because I have no investment in these characters. To the point where, and again, I don't want to spoil or anything, but a character dies and I had to flip back to the beginning of the book because I couldn't remember who they're talking about. They just say his name, like, so-and-so's dead. Like, I have no idea who that was. I'm going to have to go back and actually find, you know, a picture of this character earlier to know which one of them died.
You know what? I got to admit, you're right. They could have done a lot more to get that. If they had spent a few issues trying to give us an emotional investment, I understand. It's like, it takes me back to Star Trek TNG. You know, they killed a character, but not in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the sixth episode in, right? When they launched that series to try and go, it's not just the people in the red shirts who are going to die this time, right? You know? To try and give you that sense that there is a greater sense of depth, and maybe if we had gotten to know these characters a little bit, when somebody dies, it would have had a lot more impact for us.
Yeah, and it did. If by that,
was it Tasha Yar? Was that her name?
Tasha Yar. I don't even know. This is a geek test.
I believe you're right.
It was Tasha Yar that died. I don't know when it was though.
That's true. Yeah,
that's become a fairly standard device in TV shows now to raise the stakes. Angel did the same thing about a half dozen episodes in. Part of it was plot device, and part of it was the stakes are higher than they were on Buffy. With this, we've got 10 characters, and a couple of them die. There's no stakes to that. There are so many characters in a Legion book at any given time. An odd thing that came up in this book is that they've made such a big deal over the new 52. There's a hard wall between everything before the JLA. There's no back doors to get us back to the old continuity. It's done. And yet the Legion refers to the Flashpoint break wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means the Legion is at least aware that something called the Flashpoint event happened.
Yeah, actually, I thought that was really strange. You know what? I'm going back to burning.
you know what?
Seriously.
I'm going to do the same thing. Keith, you've officially talked both of us out of it, out of liking the book, and we're all going to burn it.
All right.
We are.
Fabian DeCesa that's writing that book? Because I think I owe him a couple of bucks now for having
it is.
Buying his book.
He's somebody. It was him, wasn't it? Yeah, no, Fabian. It's I'm going to John Byrne this. This is Spider-Man Year One level burning crap.
Way to go. You've changed over.
I'm cutting the sales right now.
Alright. You really are. Let's get into something else. Let's try Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. Brett.
Well, I mean, this reminded me a whole lot of Demon Knights. I mean, it did seem to come out of the Seven Soldiers book a little more, so I was slightly more familiar with the character. I didn't find it a terribly bad read, but really, I don't want to read it. Like, I have no interest in the book or in the story. So there was really like, you know, I'm not going to carry on reading it at all.
My only familiarity with this character was the 3-issue Flashpoint miniseries, which I also didn't like. Keeping in Mo's theme of which DC character has become which Marvel character, Ray Palmer's now a Hank Pym. switching to the A-team right there. It's a burn for me. I don't care. I really don't care. His name's not Frankenstein. Frankenstein's a monster. But that's neither here nor there.
Okay, well, and he does act as Frankenstein's monster and refer to himself basically in that regard. But yeah, the book's not
titled. They refer to his to Frankenstein the doctor subtly, mm-hmm. 47,000 times.
Where are you at, Mo?
No, I personally, I love this book because I've always been a big fan of Hellboy.
Oh, I should have seen that. Oh, I can't believe I didn't see that coming.
You didn't see that coming. I can't believe you didn't either.
Every time he catches me unawares.
Honestly, actually, I thought this was crap because I'm a big fan of Hellboy. And if I'm going to read Hellboy, I'd rather read Hellboy because it has better art and more interesting characters. Because this was Hellboy, boys. This was absolutely Hellboy. Done in the DC universe, and it sucked. And Ray Palmer deserves better than this.
And that's saying a lot.
That character deserves better.
That is saying a lot right there.
He's the Atom, for Christ's sake.
And he deserves better than this.
I'm willing to give Ray Palmer an I'm the goddamn Adam.
All right. Burn.
Yep. Torch it up.
Just like I burned Keith when he didn't see that coming. Suicide Squad. Brett.
Well, you know, I didn't mind Suicide Squad. Again, it's one of the couple of books that I thought was pretty good and that I would consider reading. Although, again, it read very much like a Suicide Squad book. I mean, there was really not much difference between any other Suicide Squad book that I'd read. But it's an interesting premise, and if the characters are done right, then I think maybe if they can take it into a slightly darker place, then I'll be interested.
So you give it a buy?
I'd probably buy it, yeah.
I'm giving this a bag. I really like this book. I like the way it introduced the characters. There was a lot of controversy about a book which is essentially torture scenes mixed with origin stories, but I got origin stories, and I don't at this point I don't really care what device you use if you're still introducing them to the characters. It would have been great if it hadn't been the characters I already knew, and featuring the seventh appearance of Batman in one of the books. But being a teen plus book is the first time Suicide Squad's been essentially what is now a mature reader's teen plus. I like that it raises the stakes of the book. It had a fair amount of violence to it, and I hate to say violence for violence's sake, but it is, you know, it's a book about bad guys. The stakes should be higher in it. I like the old concept, but I never thought it really connected, I think they may finally have it.
They might finally have it. It is a good concept. One of the things, though, about it is you really have to be willing to consistently kill off characters that people know and have been established for many, many years over and consistently be willing to do it. Because if they keep surviving, they're not the Suicide Squad. So it kind of takes away. So that's, I think, to me, that's always been the downfall of the book.
As you notice, the Deadshot's still in the book after incarnation.
And I think I don't see what the controversy is about the torture scenes. I hadn't heard that. I mean, the idea is, why can't you tell that storyline? If that's the storyline and the way to introduce them and get everything across, that's good. And there's I think this was a really well-paced book. The characterizations was good. Everything was good. And I'm going to say burn it, because I was so goddamn pissed off when I saw Amanda Waller at the end.
I was just going to say skinny Waller. The Gyprock wall instead of the wall.
I'm so pissed. I am really, really upset with this. You took what was probably, in my opinion, the most interesting, well-rounded African-American female character in comic book history and just made her look like a model at the end, showing a bunch of tits. And maybe she will be interesting still if she's the same character. But what was wrong with you're trying to make? I understand this is the whole point of the relaunch. You're making the characters more contemporary. Well, you know what? Who's more contemporary than Oprah?
And she was kind of Oprah-ish when she was first introduced in the 80s.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they did an origin story of her about 4 or 5 years ago, and you got her background of her family. Her family history and how she became who she was, because she's not really a good person. But you got to know, if you read this, it was really well done, and her secret origin. And after this, you went, I know she's not really a good person, but she has a motive for doing what she's doing. She believes that what she's doing is for the best in the world. And just when you see this character looking hotter than,
Angela Bassett, yeah.
Well, yeah, but hotter. way hotter. Like, Beyonce hotter, you know? Like, why are you doing that? I mean, it's not who is interesting. It's just another person.
Now, it's funny.
You don't stand out anymore. There's nothing that stands out. I'm so pissed off.
Now, Waller was another John Byrne character created in the 80s during Legend. If he didn't create her, he was the first one to draw her. And when he went, and I'm thinking back to when he left She-Hulk and then came back, and he was talking about one of the supporting characters that was in She-Hulk, and said, whenever I go away from a book and I've created a woman who's, you know, who is not the comic book woman shape, and then I go away, they make her, like, super hot. And he created a few different characters that were, you know, because as he started to approach middle age and he was no longer a superhero physique, he started introducing women into his books that weren't superhero physique. And now here's yet another one of the characters that he created being made into, you know, that stereotype. Yeah, one of the ones that stuck around, yeah.
And it just, all of a sudden there's, I don't know, It just cuts to me. The reason it bothers me so much is it cuts to a bigger issue about it's not about this character. There's a bigger issue going on here, and it just bugs the hell out of me.
I think ultimately that Mo's idea of Amanda Waller is one of the elements that did keep me from saying bag it, just because if they're gonna do that kind of thing. It is enough of a shift that it does annoy me based on a character that I did find interesting. And if they're going to do that, then they could easily do that with any of the other characters and make them flat and dull and completely cardboard cutouts. So, you know, it could easily suck.
Well, it's funny because when this book was first announced, all the covers were released, 3 months ago, and everyone freaked out over Harley Quinn. And the change of her image. And it feels like they saw that on the cover and they kind of had a couple of months to be ready for what they saw on the issue. And then they get to the issue and there's Amanda Waller also being fundamentally changed as a character, just in the physical appearance.
But Harley Quinn really wasn't changed that much. I mean, so she has a hair color different. And it's a different outfit. But her personality, it's probably a more realistic take.
Joker's girlfriend, it's you know, she had always been a bit light. I mean, she was introduced in the cartoon, yeah. So they kept her fairly light.
So, I mean, you've taken her hair and you've changed her hair and you've given her a more revealing outfit, probably more realistic one to what somebody would wear. And it's nothing, I didn't have an issue with that at all. I'm like, okay, Harley Quinn looks different. Thank God, because I thought she looked stupid before. Like, seriously, yeah. that was my take on it. Whereas Amanda Waller didn't look stupid. Amanda Waller looked unique. And now she looks like everybody else.
Well, she looks like an Avengers Shield liaison.
Oh, that's a great comparison. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm really pissed off with that. Okay, let's move on to
one book left.
Yeah, Deathstroke. I know Keith, you really liked this one.
I did. This was I had initially put it as a buy, and then over the course of the couple of days, I read this once. One of the first ones I read on Wednesday. And then over the course of a couple of days, I went back and I read it again. And, you know, because the ending I really liked. And, it actually rose to the top as my favorite book of the week. I really liked, again, same thing on Suicide Squad, a character that never quite connected for me, partly because of the restrictions on how violent a character could be, how the stakes of the character, the stakes of his world. And I think this character has a good shot at working in a Team Plus book the way that Punisher works better in a mature reader's book than he does in a Marvel universe.
Are you sure this was Team Plus?
I believe it was.
I'm going to double check that.
If you could check that. I'm going to retract 20% of the things I said.
It's Team Plus.
It is. Okay. Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's my take.
I agree completely with Keith. This was by far my favorite book of the week. I thought it was a really easy book to read. I enjoyed the new take on the character. I enjoyed the idea of the promise of more violence in this case. And I just thought that he does seem like the Punisher, but I think, again, I like the Punisher in that hardcore mature reader's way. So.
Okay. I'm back and forth between burn it and buy it. I had some issues, but I think there was some quality here. Let me give you one first issue. His new outfit sucks ass. That armor sucks.
I think you just want to track down Jim Lee, though, because you don't like any of the new outfits.
Well, they're all armor. I mean, everybody wears armor now.
Superman has armor.
Well,
I don't
know. I like the new look of Sunfire in Legion Lost. Seriously.
That's
I,
fair.
I look great. That was that updated. This looked like crap. And it's bulky looking. It's stupid looking. And it was a nice, the character design didn't need to be updated. It wasn't Batman or Superman where that needed to be updated. Green Arrow needed to be updated. They didn't update the design really on Green Lantern because it didn't need to be updated. Neither did Deathstroke. So I don't know why they did that. And one of my other issues was he was a character before who was, and kind of like Captain America. And the idea that he was at his human peak, but he wasn't really, he was extremely well trained and a master strategist, and at a peak, the peak of what a human could be, he wasn't really a superhero. Like now, like he's ripping doors off and in flight at 500 feet and holding on to the side of airplanes. And he's super powered, and I don't like my Deathstroke that way.
I don't like
a superpowered Deathstroke.
They do refer to him as a metahuman now, which is a bit of a change, yeah.
It is a change. And that's one thing I didn't like. I like Deathstroke. I like the idea that this guy was a master strategist and he could defeat a superhero as an assassin or mercenary because he was a master strategist who was cold-hearted, smarter, and better trained. And I think that's interesting. And now it's like, and I'm stronger than you. And it just takes away part of the interest of the character for me. I think the end was interesting. I liked the idea of the more violence. It was well written. It's just, I think I just don't feel like, I really like the character with the Wolfman run. And I just don't feel like this is an upgrade. So I'm going to probably lean towards burn it.
All right. Well, we agreed on nothing. So that's good.
Actually, no. I think we did agree on
Frankenstein.
Yeah, I think we must have agreed on.
pretty far away. None of us had a favorite book that was for all of us, though, which is interesting. It felt a bit more scattered in the week than the first week had been, and I felt that the first week was scattered.
Well, other than, and one of the things is, last week I was really, really mad and passionate about a lot of it. This week, other than the Amanda Waller thing, nothing really got my dander up. A lot of the books are just mid-range, readable books to me, but ones I could totally skip if I never read them again. Like, I don't feel like the quality was as up and down as the week before, personally.
You know, that strikes me as a real, what should be a real problem, is that when we talk about this, and the fact that there's never usually a book that three of us can agree on, where we're all saying, like, oh, that is a total baggage book. I totally want to keep reading that book. And, you know, we're already
Animal
like
Man
halfway.
One.
Yeah.
Animal Man. out of what, 20, what
27,
26
inches in? Yeah, we're halfway through.
Yeah, one book.
And we've agreed on one book. And even then, the thing about Animal Man was that I left it for quite a while because when I looked at the outside of the book and stuff like that, I wasn't really that interested in picking it up and reading it. It sold me, and that was one of the things that I thought was great. But my biggest problem is that, you know, halfway through, I mean, this is doing nothing to turn me on as a DC fan.
No.
And the more that I read, the more that I completely agree, Mo, with your sentiment that they've just taken all of that history that I did love and enjoy, and they're just pissing all over it.
They really are. I still have some hope, because there's, you know, there's still some potential good books coming. But,
yeah, I mean, we have 25 more books to go.
Halfway in, this is an utter fail for me. And I know that their sales are good, but you know what? I mean, as great as their sales are, Marvel Civil War sold out, you know, number one sold over 500,000 copies. And at the end, people were going, man, this is going on forever, and the quality went downhill as it went on, and they didn't sustain it. And they're not going to sustain this just because the sales are good for these number ones.
I think a lot of people have jumped on to buy everything and to really give this a taste, which is a good thing ultimately. But predicting what number twos, number threes, number fours are going to sell, I mean, they're just soliciting number fours now, and we've barely seen half of the first issues.
Well, it means that, I mean, people really want to read comic books and really want to read good comic books. That's what that means. It just means that the reason they don't is because they're not good enough.
Another thing that strikes me is that, you know, like, there is the Geoff Johns, and there is, you know, there's probably about, so far, five or six writers that I'm really familiar with. But there's a bunch of writers that are writing these books that I'm not familiar with at all. And I'm not sure, like, are these guys only DC guys? Or, like
who?
Well, it's just like, I mean, I'm just like, I don't remember. Well, Kyle Higgins. I don't know who Kyle Higgins is.
Well, here's an interesting one as we talk about...
I don't know who Edmondson is.
our favorite book overall so far, Animal Man, and one of our least favorite overall, Frankenstein, are written by the same guy, though. So, you know, even trusting a writer to hit your mark is unpredictable at this point. And he's also...
Yeah.
I believe he's writing one of the Batmans as well.
And I don't know who he is. Like... you know, there is the Fabian, you know, and there is Peter Milligan, and you know, there is things like that in the Abnett and Lanning.
Lemire.
Lemire, yeah.
Yeah, he had been an independent writer. I think he's new to DC just with this relaunch, though.
And then
Suicide Squad, written by
Adam Glass. Even like Adam Glass, who wrote Suicide Squad, Peter J. Tomasi, I don't know who he is.
You don't know Tomasi? Well, he's been doing Green Lantern. He was an editor over there in D.C. for a long, long time, and he's been doing Green Lantern Corps to extremely very well-reviewed for quite a long time. So, can we put any comparisons to this relaunch to the Zero Hour event that they did, and all the Zero issues, as jumping on points and new series and some reboots and some not, and is there any comparison to be made between those?
A little bit. I mean, Zero Hour was, you know, it was Jurgen's thing, coming out of the strength of Death of Superman. Not much after that, but part of the problem with Zero Hour was that everyone did a zero numbered issue. Not everyone did a prequel story. You know, Marvel did the same thing with their Minus One issues, and they made them all prequels. In the case of Zero Hour, they were trying to do launch, like jump on points. Superman just did a crossover the same as they would have any other time. This is a little more put together than that. Zero Hour wasn't really doing a lot of reboots.
Well, it did. I mean, if Fate was a reboot.
It was. Legion was as well.
Legion was, yeah. What was the series which had Red Tornado and...
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That one.
I think it probably is.
That was written by Siegel, right? That one?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Primal Force. Primal Force.
Yeah, that was very well. Actually, it was a good series. But I think there was probably more than you remember because it was so long ago and because really none of them took off. But, I mean, they had Fate instead of Dr. Fate as a guy, you know, with a sword walking around being all, like...
They got about 10 issues.
The big honk on his face,
got about 10 issues out of him and then retconned him out of existence fairly quickly.
Yeah. But, I do think there's some comparisons. And that, ultimately, when you talk about it, nobody remembers it. And it was an utter fail. And I just feel like this is going in that same direction.
Well, it strikes me that I think that when you, if you look back on Zero Hour now, I think it makes the idea of the zero issues look way smarter than a brand new relaunch of every book when you're not even relaunching the actual storylines.
I bet you if we were to go back and read the Zero Hour issues like Primal Force, like Fate, like Legion, the Challengers, did they get a relaunch there?
I don't think so, but I don't remember.
The point is, though, I mean, if we were to go back, say there was 8 to 10 relaunch characters of brand new takes, if we were to go back and read those, I bet you we'd be enjoying them more than we're enjoying these.
Yeah, there's something for the new 52 we haven't talked about in either of the podcasts.
52. It's getting to this point where, like, you know, we've forgotten that Marvel even exists. And it's okay. I understand that because doesn't strike me that there's... Well, there's a big...
You guys read Spider Island?
No.
I haven't read Spider Island yet. I hear it's great, but I've been reading 13 issues of DC a week.
I hear it's
great, but then I heard it also has Ben Reilly in it, so I don't want to care.
The Mystery Woman, the Flashpoint Mystery Woman. Have you guys been doing the Where's Waldo searching for this woman?
Nope,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh right, well I feel well informed now. Flashpoint number 5.
I feel well endowed.
Well, that would be a first thing.
Flashpoint number 5. In the two-page spread where Flash actually unites the three timelines, there's a woman, kind of purpley-pink mottled skin with a hood, that says there were three timelines that they shouldn't have been separated, and now they're all together. And that's how Flashpoint ties to the new 52. One of the things they're doing, and I'm betting that you guys are going to spend the next hour going through all of the books that have come out so far.
There is
every single new 52 book has this Mystery Woman hidden in a panel. Every book, I've found everyone so far. There was one I needed help with, but I've 26 out of 27 I found without looking online.
Dude, you seriously need another hobby.
Well, yeah. I had heard that this was a period. One of my marks of whether I'm really into the book or not is whether I've made it through the whole book without looking for. You know, when I read OMAC and I was 4 pages in, I'm like, the only thing that's going to be interesting to me from now on is where the Mystery Woman is. I think it's time to stop reading this book. But books I've
what's
really
the purpose
gotten
to, of the part?
We don't know yet.
We
don't know yet. No one knows anything about
this character.
Is
there anything other than just a Where's Waldo, other than just a game for people? Is there anything?
I feel like there probably is going to be something to it, because I think with when you look at the Flashpoint element, I think that there's something there that you know, I could see her being some sort of key to even being able to, like, reset the universe back to the way it was.
How about this? That since this is Marvel's Onslaught, DC's version, how about she brings us back to the original universe in a year or, say, another month, hopefully?
Back that, when DC that actually has come, I mean, Didio says that there is no way back past the Flashpoint barrier that the Legion has just told us about. But the assumption is
if sales tank and people hate it, there's a way back.
The assumption is that who she is will pay off the first time they do a big crossover. There's also supposed to be no events in this storyline, so I don't know when this new crossover is going to happen if they're not doing big events. But yes, every single one
a crossover for Justice League, which is 5 years in the past from the current Batman, and have it make any sense either.
None of it's making sense to this point, so I don't know why that would bother you.
Yeah.
Your concern is that it'll be confusing?
You know, I'll say this, Keith. If we did have a crossover within the DC Universe right now, that would be great, because it would give Batman a chance to show up in some other books.
Yeah.
See, and reading...
The Batman Universe, yeah.
Reading Superboy this week, after our complaints about the detective that's in the past, JLA, action... I'm reading Superboy, and I'm like, I enjoyed this, and it's an origin story, but I'm pretty sure that in a week or two, he's going to be in Teen Titans in a completely different costume. Is this one years back?
When was that one taking place? That's what actually one of my questions when I was reading it. I was like, is this taking place? When is this taking place? 5 years ago? 2 years ago?
I mean,
now?
Because he's in Teen Titans, and we haven't seen that one yet. We've only seen the cover.
Oh, he is?
He's on the cover of the Teen Titans book. So, yeah, I don't know yet. This came up as a bit of a grumble this week, and other people besides us have started noticing that the timelines don't make any sense for these books. And a few notes of 5 years ago, 6 years ago would have helped.
How about one question? You had that during Infinite Crisis and all this stuff. You had who was it? Superman, Earth Prime, mm-hmm. or Superboy Prime, or Superman Prime, or whatever. Superman, Earth 2, and his wife Lois.
Yeah.
Alexander Luthor. You had these characters who were kind of in this time torn, you know, set off in this their own little bubble where they weren't interacting with the universe where they existed. Have they done that with anybody
in the 27 comics so far?
Well, is there any hint that a Superboy Prime could show up, a Superman?
I don't.
You know,
at this point,
Earth
2 I don't think so. And Infinite Crisis itself, I don't think there's anything of that storyline left. Right now, it seems like...
Because they said so in Justice League, Superman, or whatever.
Well, Crisis happened, which is mentioned in Hawk and Dove. But right now, we've got a DC universe with no Blue Beetle, no Maxwell Lord, no Question, no Superman, no Superboy Prime... no new Krypton. It's looking like Infinite Crisis never happened. And again, we don't have a timeline, so we're only kind of picking up. We're learning on the street what events happened and didn't happen. We know that.
Well, they're learning as they're going along too. Like, did you get the feeling that Geoff Johns is learning that Infinite Crisis probably happened when he read Hawk and Dove?
There is a bit of that feeling, yeah. And other people are going to be surprised that Superman died at some point, which, you know, as we mentioned in the last podcast, is mentioned in Swamp Thing. So, you know, you're getting your continuity notes from books that aren't even the character's own book.
The Superman editors are sitting there going, shit, that was going to be our big storyline next year.
Editors?
Oh, yeah, exactly. All right, Brett, anything about Marvel you do want to bring up?
Well, again, there's another little bit with the Fantastic Four and the FF. They've released the covers to 13 of FF and 601 of Fantastic Four. And I think on FF 13, it does show the In Doom We Trust,
Did you say issue 601?
Yes.
Wow, I thought every issue was at 1. You actually can have issues up to 600 and people still buy them?
I sent a note to Marvel a few weeks ago when I heard the announcement that Uncanny X-Men was ending for their whatever relaunching of the X-Men books in a couple months. I just sent them a note. I said, you guys aren't doing the new 52. You can just keep publishing comics.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to start
601 and people might buy it? Get the hell out of here.
Yes, but the difference is that and this is still one of those great issues with Marvel is that they do stop books. Like, they're going to stop Uncanny X-Men. They're going to at some point bring it back with the old numbering system brought up to date. And basically the same thing has happened with Fantastic Four. We've talked about it before.
How many times have they done this now? How many books did they do that on if they renumbered back to the old numbers?
It's actually quite a few, because I know that it's Captain... Well, no, actually, it's not Captain America. I guess they did it with Captain America, but...
Daredevil, Captain America, if they canceled it again.
Yeah.
Daredevil, they did it on. Yeah, Daredevil,
when they restarted that at number one, it stayed. It hasn't come back, but...
Not since he was killed, though. It was before he was killed.
I think it's difficult with...
Wait a second. Daredevil was killed and came back too?
No, sorry. Captain America. They stopped his old numbering when he was killed and they restarted the book.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and there's an Avengers crossover coming up. Do you know anything about that, Brett?
At this point, no.
All right.
Okay, so what is it?
I've been
Doctor
so
Doom?
Focused on DC 52 relaunch that I've completely forgotten about everything.
It is a rough month for anyone doing anything besides DC's New 52, because I know that Marvel's trying to.
What did you guys do when you finished? When you guys finished the last week of DC 52, I went back to. I've been trying to read and track down every single issue of appearance of Adam Warlock and Thanos. And so I've been reading actually Adam Warlock and Thanos from a Marvel premiere and such from the late 70s. And that was what I was doing when I wasn't doing 52. What were you guys up to when you weren't doing 52 this week?
Well, I'll tell you what I was doing. I have something so cathartic, a book I had never read, and I just took this opportunity to get into it, The Boys. Garth Ennis, it's a book about guys that beat the hell out of superheroes. It's awesome. It's so the right thing to be reading during New 52.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Brett, what about you?
I'm actually reading D.D. Ramone's autobiography.
That's excellent. That doesn't sound like excellent. There you go. A comic book at all.
That probably has more parallels to The Boys than we care to know.
Yeah, especially if they're doing copious amounts of drugs and being really whiny. Yes.
Brett is going to be unhappy by the Ramones relaunch coming up. They're rebooting Joey Ramone.
Yeah.
They're rebooting Joey Ramone.
He's got armor now.
He's got armor. Great.
Yeah, and little blade kind of things off his arms and legs.
If they ever remake Rock and Roll High School without the Ramones, and they can't obviously make it with them, I will be pissed. That movie's awesome.
Classic.
Okay, let's... Brett, yeah, so I just have a question for you. You say that this Fantastic Four show, Doctor Doom, has he been gone from the Marvel Universe for a while, or what's the story there?
No, it's just the thing about the Future Foundation is that it was run by Reed Richards. And now we're showing like the Future Foundation. And see, the thing is that because I haven't been reading it since I've jumped onto DC here, it's showing what looks like Franklin Richards in front of him. And okay. So it's that in Doom we trust. And so I think it's like they're definitely setting up for that big issue 601, issue 13. Like bringing it all back together storyline. So I am interested because I think that Hickman's did a really good job with the end of the Fantastic Four and into the Future Foundation. So, I mean, I do want to read that.
Yeah. Well, that's unique. Well, to tell you the truth, I generally want to read anything with Dr. Doom because he's such a great character. And right now I need great characters.
great characters wanted, please.
They've never done Dr. Doom basically against in a crossover against the entire Marvel Universe, have they?
Secret Wars was probably the closest they ever came to that.
The closest, yeah. When he tried to get the powers of the Beyonder and such.
And then Doom 2099, when it was written by Warren Ellis, he kind of took that in a really interesting direction, because that line was kind of on its deathbed as it was, and you know they gave him the book and said, "Do whatever you feel like doing." You know, really early in his career, and he did. Yeah, I mean, he took over the world.
Oh yeah, and that was by far like that still stands out as one of those really interesting moments, and easily the only thing that I kept from the 2099 run.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I think it's really what the only thing anybody kept from it. But I don't recall, this is so long ago since I've read 2099 and Doom. Was that ever revealed? Because I remember early in the series it was, is this really Doom, or is it somebody who thinks he's Doom? Was it Dr. Doom or wasn't it?
Yes, it is Doom.
And it is Doom. And what is the actual continuity of the 2099 universe fitting within the Marvel universe now?
It's one of the multiverse books now. If you find the list of worlds, because Exiles visited it at one point.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, it's not Marvel Future. Marvel, in some ways it's muddier, but in some ways it's not as muddy, because they just tend not to send characters back and forth between the worlds as much as, you know, DC did when it had the multi-Earths in the 70s. Exiles was one of the few times that characters were kind of routinely moving from Earth to Earth.
Did you say
that's an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah,
did you say in some ways it is muddier and in some ways it isn't?
Well, there's certainly more Earths.
I prefer to say in some ways it's more entrepreneurial?
That can't be
the word I'm trying to say.
Can't be what you're trying to say.
It's more businesslike.
Actually, that is a word I can't say for some reason. That is the hardest word in the English language to me. All right. You know what? I think then that would be interesting. I'd love to see. Maybe that can be the next big thing. I mean, we've had basically Norman Osborn against the entire Marvel Universe, but that would get me jumping onto Marvel. I love Doom, and if they had Dr. Doom versus everybody and really trying to take over the world, I could buy him doing it. I would. He seems dangerous enough and smart enough that I could buy it doing it. So.
We need Warren Ellis to write.
That's fine. Let's do that. he's a great character, except for in the movie. God, did they ever blow it with him?
I've got a little story for you. So here's a lesson in Twitter from Keith this week. I've been posting quite a lot on Twitter, and I saw someone made this offhand comment to. Marvel had a deal where if you sent so many, you tore the covers off so many DC comics, sent them to Marvel, they would give you a trade paperback. And I said, I made this kind of snarky comment, and immediately after I put it up about how, like, oh, well, it just doubles the sales on DC books. I put it up, and then I'm like, do I actually understand how the system worked? No, I don't. So I hit delete. Twitter is a real-time medium. So I got a couple of, you know what the hell you're talking about kind of comments. The first one of, like, no, you don't have no idea how this works, comes to me from Kurt Busiek, the mayor of Astro City, tells me I have no idea what I'm talking about. Now, there was my foot-in-mouth moment for the week. One of my all-time favorite writers is like, who is this guy talking out his ass?
Wow. Your foot and mouth moment. Actually, I think it was something else in your mouth.
Yeah, that's a beatdown right there.
That was my note back. Was great. The mayor of Astro City has given me a talking to.
Well, I actually looked afterwards and I went through his followers because I had noticed something about that on your Twitter, and he doesn't seem to be following you. So I don't know where the hell he found out about it from. So,
I think he was actually in the thread of conversation that I inserted myself into. I thought I was just talking to someone, and turns out I'm talking to the writer of Marvel's, one of the greatest series of all time.
Well, way to go, dumbass.
Awesome. Awesome. although I did get a nice note from Dan Juergens that he got my I'm loving JLI so far note. So, I'm getting some good feedback.
From our Twitter or the podcast?
From Twitter. I'm sending the podcast to quite a few people, too.
Isn't that nice? You're doing such a fantastic job of being able to suck up to all these creators.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Brett, now if we can get you to suck up to the creators or get beyond 3 followers, we'll be just laughing.
I have 30. And let's be frank, I'm...
the bot that followed me today has 20.
But in all fairness, I haven't really had time to go on Twitter lately because I've been busy trying to work on the websites.
Well, there you go. I guess those are coming. Brett, why don't you actually do that when we go out with a few plugs here?
All right. Well, the We Talk Wrestling website is now fully launched. All we need is...
We Talk Wrestling or We Talk Podcast?
We Talk Wrestling. We Talk Podcast is getting
there. So the show that we don't do anymore has a website.
That's right. Well, at the time. At the time, you were really excited about continuing on with it.
Well, the We Talk Comics one will go up right about the time that we got our episode on, so which new 52 books that have been canceled do you miss?
Okay, terrific. And what else, Brad? What else are you going to plug?
What else am I going to plug? Well, I'm going to plug the soon-to-becoming next episode of We Talk Fantasy Football.
Okay.
So we're right in the swing of that, and I think that that people are going to be looking forward to more of that.
Absolutely.
I'm definitely going to plug Cub Reporter K on Twitter and Mo_WeTalk. I'm certainly not going to plug me because
no, I'm going to plug you. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Last show did really really well for us. Really really happy. We're really actually happy you guys are deciding to listen to us three idiots talk about comics like we know what the hell we're talking about. But I'll tell you this, anybody who is listening, please follow Brett. I mean...
but the key thing is that you have to not get annoyed when I don't tweet for a few days.
Guys, it's so pathetic. Anybody follows Keith, anybody follow... Please, come on, give the guy, throw him a bone.
That's right. But I mean, because Brett doesn't tweet very often, once you follow him, you'll never have to think of it again. It's really a one-time thing. He tweets about once a quarter.
Kind of like me buying the first issues of 52s.
It's just the problem is, the number one problem for me is that by the time I get on there and notice anything, everybody has already said it 52 ways. So it's like, oh, well, I guess I don't need to say it.
Brett, the thing is, it doesn't stop me if other people have said it. I figure I'm not the newest person to say it. I'm just the latest, and I'm okay with that. So let's move on. Keith, anything you want to plug?
Absolutely. I do go on Twitter. I do love to talk about comics. The one thing it's hard to get out of me is reviews of the new 52 because I like to save them for the podcasts. I am Cub Reporter K on Twitter, and I will be doing some writing for thecorrectness.com coming up as well. We've got our Action Hero Smackdown running now on The Correctness.
Awesome. And I'm gonna plug, besides wanting to plug Addie from We Talks Wrestling Mom, I'm just going to plug, I had to get one in there, Brett. But no, I'm just going to plug Brett's Twitter. It's Brett_WeTalk. Please, folks.
Give him a pity follow.
just Mo_WeTalk. And, of course, he's Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com for the email. I'm Mo at WeTalkPodcast. It's Keith at WeTalkPodcast. I think we're going to bounce here, guys. Any last things? Is it my chance to get the final word in to say
last
to go
word
out
is
this
Mo's.
Time?
Last word is Mo's.
Yeah, you
Brett,
can have it.
First? All right. Well, then I'm just going to then I'm going to go out with my regular lame joke then that Brett will probably edit out. But man goes to a doctor's office and he pulls down his pants and he has 5 penises. And the doctor looks at him and says, "Oh, my God, that's incredible. How do those hands fit?" And he says, "Like a glove." You cheat.